following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right, Refuge family and visitors, I hope. Good to be with you again today, Thursday, last day of April. Tomorrow we move into May. We started this lockdown in March. Crazy, right? And another fireside chat and another day of praying that it's an encouragement to you, a blessing to you. That's why we're doing it. That's solely the purpose. It's not to get more airtime, but just to be a source, a tool in the hands of the Lord to encourage the Refuge family during this time. So, looking forward to today. I was thinking about recently, take another sip here, my Psalm 46 cup, present help in times of trouble. Thinking about Jesus being very aware, for obvious reasons, of our different learning styles, right? Of the different ways that each of us learn. And a lot of you are familiar with these, if not by their one-word description, just by the reality of how you learn and how you've perhaps noted how other people learn things. But auditory being one of those, right? The idea there, just tell me the concept. I need to see a picture. I don't need to touch it. Just tell me the concept. So that's the auditory learning style. And then would be the visual. Show me, right? Show me a picture of the concept. And that's how I learn. Show me. And then the kinesthetic or the tactile, the touch. I'm going to touch it. I want to touch the concept in action. That's how I learn. So I suppose that all of us learn from all three of those, but we probably favor one over the other, and even if we don't know it consciously, it's just the way we learn. So what got me thinking about this was reading in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and I know you're familiar with that first part of chapter 7, where Jesus tells the listener, to don't be hypercritical or hypocritical in finding faults in others, right? Great lesson, great message, very important. So just telling the listeners, that would be the auditory, right? Telling me the concept, don't be hypercritical in finding faults with others, and don't be hypocritical in the process, of doing that. So there's that. There's the auditory. And then the visual, it would be a picture, right? A visual. And so Jesus painted a picture, right? He told a story in such a way that painted a picture. He did that a lot. He was very good at that. And so I wanted to read to you those verses from Matthew 7. And I'll read Matthew 7, 3 through 5. He says, why do you look at the speck, it's like a speck of sawdust, in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the plank or the wood beam in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, oh, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank, the wood beam, from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck or the speck of sawdust from your brother's eye. So the only, I guess, missing part there would be the tactile, the kinesthetic, the touch. And yet I'm one of those that thinks that when Jesus did these kind of lessons, that he probably did that. As a matter of fact, I've seen in one of the many visual one of the many videos that have been done over the years from the Gospels, one that was done on Matthew years ago from a company that also did Acts, and they took it verbatim from the NIV, which is a little difficult to do, using that as the script or the dialogue. But anyway, the point being, they often portray Jesus using actual, like in this case, taking a piece of wood, taking a branch from a tree and then holding it to his eye, and as it protruded out, almost comically, which I could totally see him doing that, and thus the touch, that just learning the concept, and maybe just holding that plank or the tree branch in front of his eye and saying, "Hey, so which of you could, with a tree trunk like this or a tree branch like this in front of your eye, see the speck or sawdust in your brother's eye to try to help him remove it?" You couldn't. And so the three learning methods there. So again, depending on who you are, they're all effective and they all help us to learn. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, he had a learning experience, for sure. He was incarcerated when he wrote that letter, Philippians, in prison, Roman prison. So this is like in the early 60s AD. And so it was there that he wrote a few apostolic letters, but Philippians being one of them. And in verse 12 of Philippians 4, he said this. He said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So Paul talking about his learning experience, and so key, obviously, what he learned there, kind of begs the question, well, how did he learn it, right? And the first answer I would give to that is he lived it. He lived it. That's the tactile. He touched it. He felt that and visually saw that. Saw as he's in prison what it was like to be without, and certainly the other times in his life that he had plenty and had abundance. And so he experienced those times of being in great need. He experienced those times of being in great abundance. That's how he learned it. And so for a lot of us, maybe most of us, we'd say, well, you know, I can relate to the great need part, but I can't really relate to the great abundance part. And I would suggest to you that the reality is you probably can. And so as Pastor Jonathan Ferguson is in this room with me, with Josh Beck in the sound booth, could totally relate to this living in Africa. Relatively speaking, all of us are one percenters globally, right? We may not be one percenters in America, but we're definitely one percenters as it relates to the globe. And so, you know, being that we're in the top 1% of income earners. So Paul learned what it was to be in abundance, to be content, rather, in abundance, and to be content with little by being in that situation, right? By actually being in that situation. And then the second way is that he learned what contentment was all about, regardless of the situation. He learned contentment by availing himself of the strength beyond his own. Because it's easy for us to see, well, you know, Paul, maybe he's a different character. I mean, that guy was stellar. He was this. And maybe so. But whoever you are, whatever you've been gifted with, whatever strengths that you have, everyone's got a limit. There's always a limit to those. Paul had his limits. We all have our limits. And so Paul didn't attempt this, learning this kind of contentment in his own abilities, in his own strengths. I'm sure the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And so there would be the auditory side that in fact you can do this. And the suggestion there is that there would be a time you think, I can't do this. This is too hard. Whether it's too hard to be without or it's too hard to have so much. And so he says in the next verse, in verse 13 of chapter 4, that famous line that you're familiar with, but you see the context now where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so that's the how. That's how Paul learned that. Now, I'll tie this all together for you in a moment, but over these last 6+ weeks, I've been asked, this COVID-19 crisis week, so I've been asked, hey, do you think God is doing this right now? And you can fill in the blank with a variety of possibilities. I wrote down a few here. Of those, hey, Pastor Allen, do you think God is preparing us for challenges to our faith? Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think that's certainly one of the things that He's working right now. Or this one, hey, do you think that God's showing us that we're closer to His return? Yeah, I'd say that. That's true too. Well, then others would say, hey, do you think he's helping us reassess what's most valuable? Yeah, I think so. I think he's doing that. Do you think maybe the Lord is forcing us to slow down and to stop and smell the roses or smell the coffee? And yeah, I would say yes to all those and more, because God is always doing stuff, right? And never limited. Well, this is exactly what this is about. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, with the Lord, because he's so efficient, he's doing so many things and teaching so many of us in so many different ways. And so right now, I see the Lord just discipling us, really, himself, which is not to say that he doesn't use formal discipleship. I believe he does, and I think they're a great tool in his hands through his people. But I think he's discipling us through this time. And as we've often said from this chair and from the podium in this room, it's not that we believe that God has caused this crisis for us, but he's using this crisis for us, right? And so let me read again those verses from Philippians 4 and kind of tie them all together. Again, the Apostle Paul saying, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all this through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. So my summary for today would be just to say, hey, let's learn to be content with such times, which isn't to say that we don't pray for the changes that need to come about. That's not the point. I don't think Paul would say, no, I don't want to be released from prison. Of course he did, but he learned contentment in the midst of it. And so let's learn to be content within such times with the Lord's readily available strength, right? Not your own, because that's not going to last too long. And then maybe also, just as a side note, let's perhaps learn how this relates to how rich we are in Christ. I was just reading yesterday in 1 Timothy when Paul, again, the Apostle Paul, wrote to Pastor Timothy about those in his church, in Timothy's church, who sought only earthly gain while they were pretending that they cared about heavenly things, but seeking only earthly gain. And so Paul said something very profound to Timothy, and he said, you know, real gain, great gain, is godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So perhaps we can reassess that during this time as well. And knowing that godliness with contentment is great gain, that's better than being a one percenter for sure, wherever you live. So let's pray, and we'll move forward in these weeks to come, right? Father, thank you for your timeless word. Lord, I know your people are drawing from it on a daily basis. Lord, you alone have words of life, so where else would we turn to find life-giving instruction and encouragement but your word? Lord, thank you for how in this time, in these last six-plus weeks, perhaps more than ever, Lord, we have found truly great encouragement. We have been infused with courage because of your word and your spirit. And so I pray, Father, that all that you're doing during this time, Lord, which is so much more than even my few examples, but Lord, we would learn because that's what you love to do. You love to teach us and to disciple us, Lord, that we would learn what it is to be content, to have godliness with contentment, Lord. And thereby be a greater testimony for you and draw closer to you during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining me today. Tomorrow, Pastor Jonathan is going to take the communion fireside chat for Friday, so be sure to check in tomorrow at noon. Have your bread and your juice cup ready for that tomorrow at 12 o'clock. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-815-7000. 891-9495. Set free my heart.